Our Father which art in heaven, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. To speak to God as our Father. And I like to think of myself as a child of God. Our relationship with God is, in a lot of aspects, easy to compare to a parent-child relationship. We do, after all, depend on Him for everything. It is a comparison which is often used in the Bible. There are many references to us as Christians being children of God. And I think that's because thinking of God as a Father helps us better understand our relationship with God. That relationship is very unique and oftentimes very difficult to fathom. He is, after all, our Creator, our strength, our confidant, our provider, our Savior. The allegory of Christians being like a child has some very real lessons. Jesus told us it is important to be like children. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and beginning in verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." I tell you the truth. Have you ever noticed when Jesus says something important, he precedes it with, "I tell you the truth"? I love that. "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. What does it mean to receive the child, or to receive the kingdom of God like a child? It's important, right? What's it mean? Can we even be like a child? I mean, I was a child once, and I remember it quite clearly. I grew up in Washington State until I was about 7 or 8 years old. And we lived in little towns up and down Puget Sound. You know, it's very different in Washington if you've ever visited. It's green. It's green everywhere you go. That's not like California at all. Of course, the reason that things are green is because it rains a lot. Right, Mom? Yeah, it rains a lot. Green on the bottom, gray on top. That's what they say. But the fact that it rains a lot doesn't really matter to a 7-year-old child, because once you have on your rain slicker and your red rubber boots, nothing can stop you. My favorite house when we lived in Washington was what we called the house on the hill. There were other homes being built on our street, but for the most part, the area around there was very natural still. And there was real woods very nearby. Real woods you don't see nearby in California. Wild deer would come right into our garden and eat the vegetables off the ground. Actually, I had a little wild streak myself. I would eat the carrots right out of the ground, too. You know, there's nothing like a fresh carrot with almost all the dirt rubbed off. Close to our home was a big blackberry bush. I would go with my sister in a little bucket and pick berries for homemade cobbler. Homemade cobbler. Homemade blackberry cobbler. When we came back, the bucket was full. We had purple fingers, big smiles in our mouths, and the sweet taste of wild berries still in our mouths. And I had a special place, too, that was deep in the woods. I found a place where 3 trees had fallen in the forest and crisscrossed into the form of a triangle, laying over the top of each other. But they were big trees, and it was deep enough in the middle that I could cover the top of it with branches and quickly created myself a little fort down inside there. I would spend hours in there, peeking out through the openings, watching the forest alive around me. It was like heaven. You know, if you sit long enough in the forest, you see everything go by. Skunks. You gotta be quiet. Deer. Bears. You'd think the bears would be the most frightening, but it's not. In the forests of Washington State, the banana slugs are the most frightening. Slugs grow this long and they're about that big around. And you've never seen anything like that. You know, here they're little and you accidentally step on them on the sidewalk. You haven't seen anything until you've seen a slug this big. That big around. I could sit there quietly and listen to the woodpeckers, the other birds, and the simple sound of the wind blowing through the trees. Of course, I did other things besides just play in the woods. I did the same little things most little boys do. I played with matchbox cars and my Tonka trucks. The real ones, the metal ones, not the plastic ones they make now. It's not the same. I would build roads and towns and drive around on them, my imagination going full bore. I also loved to play with Legos and Fisher-Price little Tykes people. You remember these? They were the little wooden people with no arms, just the little body and the little round head on top. I had a little town that opened up and a little airport. It was a whole little world there. You know, it was fun to pretend with them. In my imagination, all the little wooden people had names and personalities, things to do. After I was grown, my oldest son, he was little, and he was play with his own little people. They were plastic now, and they're bigger. It's not, again, not the same. But I had such fond memories of that, I tried to play with him. But again, it wasn't the same. Something happens to us as we grow older. We are changed. Our mind changes. I dare say that we lose something in the process. The 18th century English poet William Blake wrote, "Know what it is to be a child, to see a world in a grain of sand and heaven in a wildflower. Hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour." Later on in my childhood, we'd moved to California and we lived in a house in La Sierra. Cute little house at the very end of a dead-end street. I had a tree house and a walnut tree out back. And behind our property, there was nothing but orange groves. It's condos now, but there was nothing but orange groves then. I was about 10 or 11 at the time. At night, it was quiet. My bed was in the corner of my room, and there were two windows right there where my bed was. And I could lay in my bed and look at the sky. The stars, lots of stars. Less city, lots of stars. As I stared at the universe, I would contemplate the wonders, the mysteries of God with my 11-year-old little mind. He created me. He made those stars. He made angels that were with me right then in my room, that are with us here right now and yet unseen. The one thing I grappled with most, the one thing I really tried hard at, was trying to grasp eternity. That was my question. No beginning, no end. To think of it would send a little shiver through my whole body. A wonderful, frightening little shiver through my whole body, because I could almost grasp it. And then it was just too much, and I had to let it go. Maybe I was already too old. But I did feel that if I could understand eternity, I would be so very close to God. As an adult, I think that these mysteries are beyond understanding. But as a child, I almost believed that I could. That on some level, I did understand. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. And I'm going to read verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Some things are revealed to little children. Makes you wonder what you might have understood clearly as a child and now somehow lost. Or better yet, think about this. What do your children know? I'm going to read a story. I found it on the internet when I was looking for quotes about children in the preparation for my sermon. And I tried to condense it and pack it and package it to fit my purposes. And the more I played with it, the more it lost something in the process. So bear with me. God lives under the bed. I envy Kevin. My brother Kevin thinks God lives under his bed. At least that's what I heard him say one night. He was praying out loud in his dark bedroom, and I stopped to listen. Are you there, God? He said. Where are you? Oh, I see. Under the bed. I giggled softly and tiptoed off to my room. Kevin's unique perspectives have often been a source of amusement, but that night something else lingered after the humor. I realized for the first time the very different world Kevin lives in. He was born 30 years ago, mentally disabled as a result of difficulties during labor. Apart from his size, he's 6'2", there are very few ways in which he is an adult. He reasons and communicates with the capabilities of a 7-year-old, and he always will. He will probably always believe that God lives under his bed and that airplanes stay up in the sky because angels carry them. I remember wondering if Kevin realizes he is different. Is he ever dissatisfied with his life? His life is simple. He will never know the entanglements of wealth, of power, and he does not care what brand of clothing he wears or what kind of food he eats. His needs have always been met, and he never worries that one day they may not be. He believes everyone tells the truth, promises must be kept, and when you are wrong, you apologize instead of argue. Free from pride and unconcerned with appearances, Kevin is not afraid to cry when he is hurt, angry, or sorry. He is always transparent, always sincere, and he trusts God. Not confined by intellectual reasoning, when he comes to Christ, he comes as a child. Kevin seems to know God, to really be friends with him, in a way that is difficult for an educated person to grasp. God seems like his closest companion. In my own moments of doubt and frustration with my Christianity, I envy the security that Kevin has in his simple faith. It is then that I am most willing to admit that he has some divine knowledge that rises above my mortal questions. It is then I realize that perhaps he is not the one with a handicap. I am. My obligations, my fear, my pride, my circumstances, they all become disabilities when I do not trust them to God's care. Who knows if Kevin comprehends things I can never learn? After all, he spent his whole life in that kind of innocence, praying after dark and soaking up the goodness and love of God. And one day, when the mysteries of heaven are opened and we are all amazed, maybe Kevin won't be surprised at all. You You know, it may be that Jesus simply blesses some with being childlike for their whole lives. Well, what about the rest of us? Can we be like a child? Turn with me to the scripture reading for today in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's the secret for us. We may have lost our imaginations. Unable to play with toys, we're stuck living the lives of adults. But we can be like a child with our humility. We need to think of others before ourselves. Well, we say it over and over, but it's not that easy to put it into practice. Maybe we should ask our kids how to do it. They may know some things we don't. But one way or another, we have to set ourselves aside and love everyone, both sinner and saved, like Jesus did. It is hard to understand that kind of love, let alone practice it. You see, that's the mistake I made when I was 11, staring at the stars. Trying to grasp time with no beginning and no end. Understanding eternity is not the key to understanding God. The key to understanding God is understanding His love, which has no beginning and no end. It's our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful Sabbath day. Thank you for being with us, for blessing us. Thank you for our children, for the lessons that they can teach us. And thank you, Lord, for letting us be your children. Guide us in all that we do. Continue to bless us as we grow. Until that wonderful day, Lord, when the wonders of heaven are opened. We pray for your soon coming. In the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we pray all these things. Amen.